I don't know about you guys, but for me, I have always struggled to make friends. Some of it has been that I, you know, just, it seems like a lot of work. People are a lot of work. Sometimes I'd rather be alone. But I've never made friends easily, right? Like, maybe I just waited for them to come and talk to me. I don't know what it is. Like, oh, if they really want to be my friend, then they're going to make the effort. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to wait. Maybe the same's for you, right? Like, maybe you have never made friends easily. Maybe you got jealous when you'd finally make a friend, but they happen to be one of those people that makes friends with everyone. And so then all of a sudden you're like, oh, you're my only friend. But look, you've got all your friends, right? It doesn't always feel good. Maybe you're one of those people that has all the friends and you're like, what's all of you guys' problem? Get over yourselves, right? I don't know. Like, we all make friends in different ways. But listen, no matter where you land, we all have a role to play in creating a healthy Christian community. Last week, we kind of flipped things around. This week, since it's the 11th, we're moving into the Valentine's Day time, which oddly enough is also aligning with Ash Wednesday, the start of Lent, like the most solemn and sober part of the Christian calendar. I suggested to our Lutheran friends that for their promotions of Ash Wednesday, they should actually have something to the effect of, don't God anyone to love, come roll in the ashes, something like that, right? That was a joke, people, come on. I did actually suggest that, so I don't know if they used it, but it was a joke, all right? So wherever you land, though, we need Christian community. So last week, we did this week's message. This week, we're doing last week's message, where we're looking at relationships in the church. The reason for that is my feet decided not to stay on the steps on the back deck last weekend, let's just say that I have a bruise along my lower back from my spine to my hip. All right. So I spent all week in Banff on heavy painkillers. And then about halfway through, I could move without it hurting too badly. So if you see me wince while I'm preaching, it's because for the most part, I'm fine. But every once in a while, I shift in such a way that everything really hurts. So that's not me thinking that I said something bad. It probably just means that I hurt myself. All right. So wherever we're at, we all have a role to play in creating this healthy Christian community. Even if you would consider yourself not a church person, right? Even if you would consider yourself someone, you're like, you know what? Like, I don't know that I believe all of this stuff. You know, I think all of us are part of a journey of faith, a journey of figuring out where we believe. And for those that have said, yes, I place my trust in Jesus, we're on a journey of becoming more like Him. Right, of allowing Him to master and be Lord over more and more of our lives. But I just want to encourage you that if you're here, you're joining us online, you are so welcome here. We want you to feel comfortable belonging before you believe. You can be friends with church people before you say yes to Jesus, okay? So today, what I want to do is I want to go and present 7 thoughts about making friends at church. It's a novel idea, isn't it? 7 thoughts for making friends at church. Heavenly Father, today I thank you that we are able to come together with people who many of us are like-minded, at least in the area of faith. Lord God, that we are able to honor you and glorify you and sing songs like we sang today about how great you are and how magnificent you are, Lord God. And I ask that we would center ourselves around those things. Lord, today, as we consider our own predisposition towards friend-making relationships, our busyness, Lord God, I ask that you would help us to set aside those things and truly today just consider what it is that you may have to speak to us today. I ask that your Holy Spirit would be whispering into our hearts truths, maybe that I'm not even preaching, Lord. And God, on that vein, Lord, I ask that you would take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you would make them something worthwhile. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. So I think as we look at friends in the church, the first thing that we need to get over is this individualistic mindset that so many of us in Western culture have. You know that old song, like, no man is an island, right? Sometimes I think we've actually forgotten that in society. We say it's all about me. Right? It's about how I feel, not how they feel. What makes me feel best. And if it's not hanging out with people, if it's not taking care of people, if it's not showing up to church on a Sunday, then I'm just not going to do it today. Right? We tend to operate in this way. And so one of the things that we really need to begin to grab hold of is we need to embrace your need for others. You need to embrace your need for others. You might say, Pastor Stephen, others have hurt me. I don't need others. You need others. Okay, C.S. Lewis once said that yes, having relationships, it's a dangerous game, right? You might get hurt. But the only thing that you're doing when you say, well, I got hurt in the past, I want to protect myself, so I'm cutting myself off. He basically says that you're willingly being buried alive. He says you're putting yourself into a coffin and sealing the door behind you and killing yourself emotionally and spiritually on your own without even taking the risk of relationship. Embrace your need for others. In fact, did you know that at the very beginning of the Bible, we're told that we need others? It is. It's bad for your life, for your health, to spend your life alone. It's true. And listen, when we say alone, it can also be a case of, you know, spending our lives cutting ourselves off from others. There you go. Not socializing. So in Genesis chapter 2, then the Lord God said, he's just created Adam, the first man. It is not, can you read that word? Four of us can read. That's good. All right. It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. So God creates man. And he's been saying like everything. And he saw it was good. Right? And it was good. And then he creates man. And he's like, you know what? It's not good for man to be alone. Now, some people like to riff on this, and they're like, see, man wasn't good, and so he made a helper for them. Let's not get into all that stuff, okay? That's jokes. That's humor when we do that. God made man. He loved man. But it wasn't good for us with God's design to be alone. Remember, God exists as three persons eternally coexistent, of equal essence. Three persons and one God. God is eternally in relationship. I actually love the way that the Greek Orthodox Church refers to the Trinity. They say God exists in an eternal dance. A realm of these three persons intertwined within each other. He exists in relationship. And so when Genesis says that God created us in his image, we need to understand that we were created as relational beings, which is why he says it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good to be alone. So we need to embrace our need for community. But not only that, I want to let you know that your community out there, your community needs you to have friends. Author Robert Putnam wrote a book called Bowling Alone. And in this book, he talks about some research that was done where eventually they came to the conclusion that the people who have the strongest relationships within their church end up being the most kind and selfless people towards those in their community. Get that. So by you having strong and healthy relationships in the church, when you leave the four walls of the church, when you're not around your Christian friends, you end up being the best people you can be in the community. You need it, and they need it. And so the first thing that we need to do is we need to recognize this is important. It's worthy of effort. It's worthy of our attention. Okay? And the second thing that we need to do, and this one has always helped me out, but I understand sometimes it doesn't. Don't just sit. Serve. Okay? Don't just sit. Serve. So many people, they come to church with the dispensation of, Pastor, feed me. Right? Pastor, make sure the music is good enough so that I can just have an encounter of the Holy Spirit, because he only works if the music is just right and you play my favorite song. That's sarcasm, by the way. We have this consumeristic mentality, but when you look at the early church, it was actually a society, a community of mutual encouragement and benefit and sacrifice. They were coming together to be taught, yes. But listen, the earliest records of the church in Acts, it says that in order to take care of those amongst them, they felt led, to some of them, to sell their property and give the money to the church so that they could take care of those that weren't as well off as they were. They weren't coming to church going, okay, give me my bread for the week. They were coming to church saying, I'm part of this. I'm going to serve. And I know for myself, quite often, I mentioned that I have trouble making friends. But one place that actually I've generally made decent friends or you know, at least general acquaintances that I could hang out with and have a fun time. I might not be like making them my confidant or anything, was serving. I had the fortune. I've served on many music teams, worship teams in my life. And listen, when you're serving with people on a regular basis, you can't help but get to know them, right? When you serve on a team, you can't help but get to know them. When you're somebody who's like, you know what, I'm a bit of an introvert, but I'm going to step out and I'm going to be a greeter, and you actually put everything into greeting, you're going to get to know some people. And if you don't just go, hey, how are you doing? Go. And you actually say like, hi, I'm so-and-so. Nice to meet you. What's your name? And then eventually you get into some conversations and stuff. You start to make friends with people. You're like, there's some people that are interesting. The late pastor, Timothy Keller, a very wise man, he said this about the culture in which we live and our need to actually be a part of. He says, we live in a culture in which the interests and desires of the individual take precedence over those in the family, group, or community. And as a result, a high percentage of people want to achieve spiritual growth without losing their independence to a church or any organized institution. There is no way you will be able to grow spiritually apart from a deep involvement in the community of believers. If your butt is sitting in the seats and that's it, and you're coming in late and you're sneaking out early and you don't want to talk to anyone, you're stunting your spiritual growth. If you're saying to yourself, you know what, I need to go and I need to be involved in hockey, and so I'm for 6 months at a time. Is that how long the hockey season is? I don't even know. I don't play hockey. I don't really even watch hockey. Does that make me a bad Canadian? Yeah. Now, baseball, on the other hand, there's a real sport. Anyways, as we look at these things, right? Are we serving? One of the best ways to get involved is to serve, and not to close yourself off. Listen, you can put yourself in the most friendly of groups, and if you do not open up to relationship, you will find that you do not create any relationships. And apparently you will die if you don't take my advice. So, all right, the third thing, we need to develop a heart and mind that love like Jesus does. Okay, so one of the things we need to recognize is in a relationship, relationships, marriages, all of it, it breaks down if our heart isn't one of love. If we just say, what can I get out of it? How can they serve me? How does it make me feel? That relationship's going to break down, because a heart and mind that love like Jesus loves is going to sacrifice, right? It's going to put their needs above your own. In fact, Jesus says we need to be loving. One of the things that should characterize us as people at church is that we should love one another. Jesus says, so now I am giving you a new, what's that word? That was a little better. Good. So we have trouble with the small words and we're good with the big words. That's good to know, right? So now I am giving you a new, what? Commandment. So suggestion, right? No, not suggestion. Command. You must do this. Love each other. That's in the imperative. Love each other. Do it. This is the command. Just as I have loved you, just as Jesus loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. How many of you feel like you're out there loving everyone that comes in the doors of this church? Some of us. Right? Sometimes we like to pick and choose a bit. Some of us were like, this church is too small because I can't get away from that one person, you know? But I mean, Paul had stuff to, I don't have time to get into it all, okay? We're going through seven things that I hope are going to help build up relationships in the church, but we need to love one another. Every day, get up. If you don't have a heart that tells you, you know what, I feel, I have compassion, I have empathy for those that Jesus loves. I have a heart for him. When that person comes in and they don't talk like me, they don't look like me, they don't smell like me, they don't have the same hobbies as me, my heart breaks. I love them. I want to get to know them. I want to hear their story. I want to pray with them. I want to support them and have them support me. If your heart's not like that, then you need to say, God, I desire your heart today. Transform me to have the heart and mind of Christ. Fourth thought on friendship in the church is this. The church gives us opportunities to befriend those unlike ourselves. Have you ever thought of that? Right? Like, in what other situation, in what other arena do we pull people together from such a vast array of backgrounds, home lives, nationalities and ethnicities, languages, right? So many people with varied interests, occupations, status, wealth, and say, hey, all, you're one body. Where else do we do that? And in fact, the Apostle Paul, this great early church missionary who wrote so much of the New Testament of the Bible, he's writing to the church in Ephesus. And he's writing to these people who have been separated along the lines of their cultural norms, the Gentile and the Jew. And this is what he says. He says, but now you have been united with Christ. Someone say united with Christ. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when, in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility towards each other was put to death. Imagine that. Imagine groups getting together, one group who used to look at the other and call them dogs. That's literally what Jews called Gentiles, the dogs. And all of a sudden, it's like, no, we're all one in Christ. You can't look down on them without looking down on yourself. In the church, we see people with wide distinctions who outside the church's walls would have actually very large walls between them. But as they come inside here, the walls are torn down because we're one body with one spirit. Saved by one Christ. So we draw people together who outside probably wouldn't be friends. But man, do we have opportunity to do something that goes beyond just petty things and become friends and supporters based on the one thing that matters overall? My fifth thought on relationships. I know this message is a little different than I usually do. But my fifth thought on relationships in this busy society that we're in is make space for relationships. In other words, own your calendar. I hear so often people that are like, I don't get to know anyone. It's so hard to make friends. And it's like, okay, so why? Well, I'm busy or they're busy, and one time I reached out and I asked people to do something, and they were like, ah, I don't really have time this week. Maybe we can connect sometime in the future. And it's like, okay, cool. And then we all know how that goes, right? We should get together for coffee. Yeah, totally. We should do that one day. And you get together for coffee? But what would happen if, as Christ followers, we actually began to slow down. To slow down our schedule and say, no, like, I'm making space for friendship. I'm making space for community. And I get it. For a lot of us, this is like big stuff because for many of us, like, the newest statistics are saying that a regular church attender attends church 1 week out of every six. So we don't even make space for, like, relationships in the one thing that's already built in that we're supposed to be going to as people that follow Jesus. And I'm saying, hey, we need to make space on the calendar. What that may mean is that a promotion's going to come up and you're going to have to prioritize, no, I need space on my calendar and that's going to take me away from this. Make space for relationships. Limit your work or your activities on at the times that people often want to get together. Listen, if you're working 12-hour days, 6 days a week, you're going to have a hard time getting connected with people. Right? Like, if we overwork, if we overbook, or if we don't schedule anything and we just live on whatever it is that's most interesting in the moment, we're not going to prioritize creating healthy relationships with others. And in that vein, not only do we need to make space for relationships, we need to create space for those on the outside. Because again, sometimes we just naturally go, they're not like me, so it would be a little awkward. Right? I don't know. I think someone else should be their friend. But I want to share with you that studies show that those with the deepest relationships are those who relentlessly take initiative and create space for others. Okay? Very rare is the friendship where two people just bump into each other, they shake hands, and they're like, we're going to be best buds. Do you remember elementary school? Weren't those great days? Like, you like Batman too? Friends for life. You know? Those with the deepest relationships are those who relentlessly take the initiative to create space for others. We have to press in. We have to say, hey, do you want to go out for lunch? I'm a little busy this week. Okay, well, hang on. How's next week for you? Don't do the whole, like, well, okay, we'll figure something out. Like, most of us carry our calendars in our pockets now, okay? So it's not like there's any difference between making plans now or making plans later when you get home, because you don't need to look at your kitchen calendar. It's right here, right? So no, right now doesn't work. How's this time? How's this date? How's this? Let's figure this out. And folks, okay, can I air a grievance? It seems that we have lost this thing called, I want to say, respect. If you make an appointment with someone, and you haven't been called into work when you couldn't say no, or gotten hit by a bus, or something like that, please, please, don't cancel. Like, I'm saying this as a pastor, that even sometimes when I'm arranging things with other pastors, you'll get a call like 15 minutes before your standing appointment. And they go, oh, I'm sorry, I had something else come up. Like what? Oh, I decided that I needed to phone this person. You couldn't have done that after our meeting. You know what I mean? And it's an issue in our society today. We make plans and then we drop them. Or we do this. We say, yeah, Friday might work. Let me get back to you. And we're not doing that because we don't have our calendar with us. We're doing that. It's actually, they've done studies on this, okay? That our generation, there's a lot of generations here. Anyway, my generation, I should say, the millennials, we're always afraid of missing out on something better. So we will not confirm for as long as possible to keep our options open just in case someone comes to give us Mariners tickets. That fell flat. Calgary Stampeders tickets. Little better. Flames tickets. No sports fans here. All right. Oilers, give me a break. All right. Anyways. I'm afraid we can't be friends. Okay, that's fine. All right, so we leave our things open. We don't confirm. Just confirm. Create space for those on the outside. And listen, if it goes the other way, if you feel on the outside, you need to step up and pursue a relationship. Okay? In church, we're not talking romantic relationships. If somebody says no, just stop. All right? But if you're looking for friendship and the person's like, I'm busy, I'm sorry, just start running up other dates. Pull out your schedule. How about this? How about that? How about that? Sound needy. Okay? Be okay with being needy because we all need relationships. That was point number one, right? So just get out there and be like, I'd love to have coffee with you. How's next week? In fact, this is something they tell you when you're reaching out to business people. You don't say, hey, can we have a meeting sometime? You say, hey, I would love to have a meeting with you about such and such. Here's two dates that work for me. Do they work for you? Put in the work. Okay? Get together. Keep pursuing. You know what? Who else kept on pursuing even though people kept on rejecting them is God. God creates humanity. And we're like, no, that's all right, God. Right? If this was a YouTube video, I'd throw in that little picture of Drake going like this, because that's what we do to God. Again, not enough people my age here. All right. Anyways, I would do that kind of thing. Because what we've done time and time again, the entire Old Testament is God like, come to me. I love you. Let me be yours. Be my people. Come on. In fact, it gets so bad that eventually he's like, hey, Israel, you're like a prostitute that I haven't given up on. You're my bride and all you want to do is sleep with other people. Come back. Right? Like literally, there's an entire book of the Bible where God makes this poor prophet marry a prostitute who's unfaithful. All is an example of how Israel is with God. And God never gives up. He's like, come back to me, come back to me, come back to me, come back to me, come back to me. So finally, what did he do? He went to us. That's what happens with Jesus. God is setting everything right. He's giving opportunity. And then finally he says, the time is now. I'm going to come to earth in the person of my son, Jesus Christ, be born of a virgin, just as was prophesied in the Old Testament. And I am going to take the sins, the debts, the brokenness of the world upon myself. I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to form the bridge. I'll become the doorway to life. And all you have to do is say yes to me and say, I'm giving my life to you, that you are in charge. And then it's all good. God didn't just create a space. God came to us. So listen, if you feel like you're being needy by inviting somebody out and things don't work, so you say, how's next week at that time? Just understand that God spent millennia trying to have coffee with Israel. And eventually he had to come down and put the pot of coffee on himself. That might have been heresy. Anyways, number seven, this one's going to be hard for some people, okay? Stay put, even when it's hard. Stay put. Listen, when you're fighting with someone in your church or fighting with your pastor, ask yourself, do we believe in the same God? Do we want to see Pincher Creek in the area around us serving Jesus? And if the answer is yes, stay put. Sort things out. But there's another aspect to this that I don't think that we think of very often. Society, as we have moved to a more individualistic viewpoint of things, we have come to a place where if it'll help us get ahead in life, if it'll help us get a bigger house or a better job or whatever it may be, we're pretty quick to pick up roots and just go. Right? Like, unless you've lived in Pincher all your life, it would be interesting to have conversations with you folks and find out how many moves you've had over the course of your lifetime. But I want to share with something with you. It is exceedingly difficult to create deep and lasting relationships if we don't put roots down. I'm not talking to you guys. I know we've known for 6 years you guys are leaving at some point. We love you. I'm not saying that there's never a time where we need to leave. What I am saying is that sometimes we might want to consider, for the sake of relationship, for the sake of the call of God, even though it might seem better on the surface for me to go, should I stay? Right? How many of you felt better about coming to this church when you heard that Embry and I bought a house here? Right? Because we put down roots. We said we're in this until God boots us out. Right? And so in the church, if we want to have lasting, healthy friendships, not only do we need to embrace ours and others' need for us to have friendships, okay? Not only do we need to be going out and making space in our calendars and our lives and reaching out to others and trying to schedule things and creating a heart and a mind that are full of the love of Christ, we actually need to stay put even when there's disagreements, even when there's pains, even when opportunity comes knocking. Maybe, just maybe, for the sake of relationship, we shouldn't be quite so quick to say, I'm out of here. But instead, we could begin to do something great as the community sees that these are people that are devoted to strong ties and relationship, can go out and invite them in to the one place where ethnicity, economic status, all of these things doesn't matter. See, I've made friends through many of these various areas. Right now, Yannick, if you want to start handing out communion, we're going to do communion in a moment here. And let me encourage you, if you're not sure what communion's all about and you don't feel comfortable participating with us, then feel free to just let all the elements pass you by. If you want to participate with us, that's great as well. You're welcome to. I just ask that you understand that this is a solemn and important moment for us as followers of Jesus. But I've made friends through many of these various things. And I don't know if you caught it, but in that one scripture I read, I believe it was in Ephesians, we're told that Jesus draws us together in a common faith, that we become one body, that we are bound by the one Holy Spirit who lives within all who say that they love and trust Jesus. And listen, the great thing is, okay, you don't have to go out and only find people who love the movies that you do. You don't have to go out and find the people who love cars, which is good because I actually don't like cars. You don't have to find the people that like fishing or clothes or all the same things that you do, right? Because we all have something greater in common. Savior, Jesus Christ. And so that's why this is just such a marvelous, marvelous place. It's a place where so many people can gather and know that they are loved, that they are cared for. Praise the Lord. With this cup in front of you, I just want to bring encouragement today. That as we examine our hearts and consider, do I have a heart for others? That we would truly be people who can say, I do. It's interesting to me. In the book of Corinthians, many of us are familiar with this passage that I am trying in vain to find, which is pathetic of me. But anyways, we would say that many of us would say that communion is a time that should be exclusionary, right? That our hearts need to be perfect before God. And the reason that people would say this is in this area here, Paul is giving, he's trying to fix the Corinthian church. And he says in 1 Corinthians 11:17, but in the following instructions, I cannot praise you, for it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. First, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church, and to some extent, I believe it. But of course, there must be divisions among you so that you who have God's approval will be recognized. He says, when you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others, and as a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. What? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. And then he goes on to a passage that we're going to read in a moment here. But then he says in verse 27, so anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. And so many people throughout history have said, see that? So we need to make sure that we're like perfect before we come to God and all of that. But if we actually read that first part and understood it, that there was a breakdown in relationship along economic lines, that these people were coming together for a meal of fellowship to celebrate what Christ has done and to take communion together, but that these people who had everything, who were healthy, who were economically stable, they're bringing their meal to the church and they're just like, all right, let's go ahead and eat this thing. While there are those across from them that are so poor, they're not able to eat. And they're all like, yeah, we're having a fellowship meal together, but it's all about me. There was a lack of relationship. There was a lack of compassion for those who are in a different place than they were. And so Paul isn't saying to us that we drink judgment upon ourselves if there's this or that that isn't perfectly aligned in ourselves. In fact, what he's saying is that if you don't honor the body of Christ. Now, are we talking, here's an interesting thing, are we talking about the bread and the wine, or are we talking about who Paul has repeatedly said is the body of Christ? Just a thought. If we say, I don't care about relationships, I don't care about the people here, this is all about me, it's not about being a part of a community under the Lord, then we eat unworthily. And so today in this place, I just want you guys, can you put like a, just something on softly in the background? I feel like I'm just talking in an echo chamber right now. If we're in this place right now or even online, I want you just for a moment, I'm just going to be quiet for a moment. What I really want you to do is I want you to take a moment and just ask God, like, don't ask him, Lord, reveal anything in my heart. I want you to ask God specifically, God, have I been rejecting the family? Have I been rejecting the body? Have I been rejecting those that I'm supposed to be in communion with? Have I looked down on them? Have I turned my nose up at them? Have I been uninterested in getting to know them and support them and love them? Have I been so busy that I've just been coming and getting what I need so that I can run out the door? Or am I living a life that says, I need a relationship with these people and I want to serve, not just be served? Let's just take a moment and ask him these things. As we're considering these things, you might be thinking to yourself, Pastor Stephen, this is great stuff, but I'm not even a part of this body. I haven't said yes to Jesus, but maybe hearing about how we're designed to live in relationship, or about how God desired you so much, he gave everything for you, about how he is who he says that he is, about how there's nothing you can do that is so bad that God would reject you, but in fact that he has said, if you will come to me, if you will accept this gift through my son and choose to follow me, that you are forgiven, you are adopted into the family of God, while everyone is praying and searching their hearts for, have I been living rightly according to what Christ has done in me? I would like to offer an opportunity to any of you online or here in person who are saying to yourself, I'm not a part of the body yet, but I'd like to be. I haven't said yes to Jesus yet, but I want to right now. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I just encourage you today that if your heart has come to the place where you're saying, I want to step into a relationship with Jesus, I'm giving him my all. If you pray this prayer from your heart, if you confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord and you submit to him today, know that you are entering the body of Christ, that you are adopted as a son or daughter of the Most High God. And so all around this place, we're going to pray today. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your son. Thank you for his death. Thank you for his resurrection. I desire to follow you. Please forgive me. Please make me new. I give you my life. Please give me yours. Transform me and make me whole. I commit to follow you for the rest of my days. I commit to the body of Christ for all my life. And I thank you that even when I mess up, you don't reject me, but you pick me up, you dust me off, and you walk with me in your arms. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer today, I really, truly want to welcome you into the family of God. We would love to connect with you, know the decision that you've made, get some resources into your hands online. You can go to ascc.life and tap on, I just gave my life to Jesus in-house here. You can grab that white card in the seat back in front of you and check that box that says, I just gave my life to Jesus. We've got some resources we'd love to give to you. Make sure that card gets to Corrine, who is the person that said hello to you as you walked in the door and shook your hand and all of that. But right now, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for your body and for your blood. Thank you for the sacrifice you made that goes beyond human-made boundaries and makes us all one in Christ. So bless these elements as we prepare to receive them. In Jesus' name, amen. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Let's partake. So Lord, be with us as we go. Help us to build these relationships and to make inroads into our community. In Jesus' name, amen.